Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 46 of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni and I'm one of your hosts. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
And my name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. And Keegan.
My name is Keegan Wade. You can find me on Twitter at Nikki14.
And then we just really like to thank everyone and welcome everyone to the podcast. Thanks for the great response so far. Those of you that leave reviews, it's super helpful in the ratings. And it really kind of just helps us get motivated and stay motivated to keep doing these awesome podcasts. So I really appreciate that. If you want to leave a rating, you can do that on iTunes. Also, you can leave a comment on our blog. Any little blurb you want to put out there about Edu All-Stars is awesome. Appreciate it.
And we would like to thank GoNoodle for being our sponsor for this episode of Edu All-Stars. We are all about for using technology and fun to help students be their best in the classroom. And GoNoodle Brain Breaks are designed to help kids get their wiggles out, refocus the classroom, and stimulate learning in 5 minutes or less. I use GoNoodle in my classroom. It's free, super easy, and has a ton of activities like running, dancing, stretching, and singing along to Frozen, which the kids are obsessed with. So if you go to our website, eduallstars.com, you can see a link where you can sign up for your free GoNoodle account today. And we just would like to thank GoNoodle for sponsoring this episode of Edu All-Stars.
And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing all of your conversations on Twitter and hearing everything you have to say about the show.
And we would love to welcome our guest this week, who is John Harper, a vice principal at Choptank Elementary School. Thanks for being with us today, John.
Thank you, Todd. I'm honored to be on here. This is quite a pleasure. I apologize for the format, but this is my first time, so I'm going to do the best I can.
Hey, we like bringing in newbies. So where can people find you on Twitter?
At JohnHarperBD70.
So talk about the BD70. Where did that come from?
B is for Bailey, my daughter. D is for Derek, my son. And 70 is the year I was born.
Perfect.
All 1970.
Right. Well, John, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into education.
Okay, it's a long road, actually. I probably should be on about my 21st or 22nd year by now, but I started late. I majored in philosophy at a small school called Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina. I chose philosophy because there was a professor that was very interesting and the classes seemed like a lot of fun. But as you can imagine, you can't do much when you graduate with a philosophy degree. And so when I got out, I really had no idea what I wanted to do. There was a time where I thought I wanted to be in med school, so I took a lot of sciences, organic chemistries and whatnot, and applied to med school. And while I was waiting to hear, my mom suggested, you know, I had to make some money, so she suggested substituting right down the street. And I thought she was crazy, but I did it anyway. And when I didn't get into med school, I wasn't disappointed because I thoroughly enjoyed substituting, so I went back and got a bachelor's degree in elementary education. From there,
how long did you do that? How long did you teach elementary education?
Well, actually, I taught second grade. I started off in second grade, and then first, and then fourth and fifth, and then 5 years in fifth. So I guess 7 years in elementary education.
Cool. So when did you know that you're in administration now? And so when did you kind of know that you were ready to, you know, make that leap? That's always a personal question I like to ask because I struggle that with myself right now. I mean, I really love being in the classroom, but I can also see, you know, making a difference in administration as well.
I think it was about my eighth or ninth year where I felt like I could have more of an impact on people as an administrator, or more of an impact on adults who then in turn can have the impact on children. But, you know, as I've heard former people on the podcast mention, it's very difficult because you miss those relationships a lot. Yeah. I think the first couple times I applied, I didn't get accepted. Didn't get the job, and then after that, I did get the job as a vice principal.
What kind of struggles do you encounter in administration that maybe you didn't encounter as a teacher?
The struggles are the difficult conversations you have to have are with adults, not children, mm-hmm. which makes it very, very difficult because, you know, adults come with so many more layers, and so it's very difficult sometimes to have an open and honest conversation with an adult. but they're very important, and you have to have them.
Do you feel like your degree in philosophy helps with those conversations?
I wish I could say it does, but I really don't think so. I just think life prepares me for some of these conversations, and I think the relationships you build with people over the years does help. And I was fortunate enough, the job where I got where I am a VP, I worked for 5 years before I was a VP, and so I'd already built those relationships, which can make it tougher or easier depending on your outlook.
Yeah, did you? So you actually moved up in the school you were in? Is that right?
I did. I was a math coach there for, I guess, 3 or 4 years, and then this is my fourth year as a vice principal.
How do you make that difference to the teachers, where one day you're standing next to them, and then the next day you're leading them? Was it easy, difficult?
It's easy in some ways in that you already have the relationship, and I feel like I'd already built the trust with them because I'd been in their classrooms modeling, teaching, helping them in any way possible. But then it is difficult because then you're evaluating them and you have to call them on things that you normally wouldn't call them on. But I work in an amazing school with an amazing group of people, so it is very difficult, without a doubt.
Cool. Yeah. Now, what's been the biggest lesson that you've learned being an administrator?
The biggest lesson I've learned, my most difficult conversations are with parents of children. And so the biggest lesson I've learned, I think, was a result of being a parent myself. For example, I have to make calls sometimes to parents telling them their children got punched in the face. Calling a parent of a 5 or 6 year old and saying that your child got hit in the face or got kicked or got whatever is very, very difficult. And a lot of times they get very angry. And before I had children myself, it was hard to really imagine why they could possibly be that angry. Until you're a parent, it's very difficult. And then once you become a parent, you know, you understand their anger and you listen to their anger and you take it in, and then you try to step back for a moment and think, what would you want done if that were your child?
Yeah.
So, John, you're also what we call a connected educator, someone who uses social media to connect with others online. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey into becoming connected?
Yes, well, I actually haven't been on very long. I went to NAESP July it was, in Baltimore. And Todd Whitaker said, Todd Whitaker's amazing, and he said, you have to join Twitter. And before then, I knew my wife was on it, but I thought it was basically just to follow movie stars and paparazzi. I'll be honest, I had no clue. And then when Todd Whitaker, said, you have to join, you have to become connected, I said, okay, let me try this. And once I got on, I became hooked and addicted. And it hasn't been the same since. And then I started writing a couple blogs the first couple months, but not much. Not until about November or December did I really make it my passion. And then after that, it hasn't been the same. I'm probably addicted to it. I'm probably on too much.
I think we all connect well with that.
believe me. We all know the feeling. So I'm not a huge EduBlog reader myself, but I did poke around your blog a lot before coming on this evening, and you write a lot, and you write very high quality posts. Have you always been a writer?
I haven't. No, I haven't done much writing up until this year, to be honest with you. And maybe I guess it's something that was just inside of me. I mean, I write papers for grad classes, but they're very, very different. And the blogging is a whole thing where you can really express what you're really feeling. I like that I don't have to write in complete sentences. I like that I can write phrases. I can use graphics. It's a lot of fun. It's a shame. I know a lot of teachers are allowing kids to do that, and they are using that as a medium because it's a shame because it's almost like kids are having to write grad papers like we do, and it's a totally different format. I mean, those people you've had on the show, a lot of them are working on their degrees, and it's nowhere near as fun to write a grad paper as it is to write a blog. And I'm sure anybody would agree with that statement.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's funny, I think a lot of educators now, you don't hear so much of them about reading books, but instead we're reading articles and blogs. And I got to say, that is the one thing, your blog is by far my favorite blog out there because of not only the depth at which you write, but yet it's really still really easy to read, but the tie-ins that you make with everyday things, especially when with your kids, and how you make it tie into education and all the links there. I mean, it's very intriguing constantly to read it and see what you're going to come with next. That was one of the reasons I really was pushing to have you on Edu All Stars, is because I've just been so inspired by the blogs that you do, and I'm so glad you write as often as you do, because then I get to read them more often.
Well, I'm very humbled. I thank you very much. I actually saw an amazing speaker this past week at Common Ground 14 called, his name is Robert Dillon, Bob Dillon. And I think I'm not quite sure what his hashtag is. It's Idea Guy, I think. And he gave an amazing presentation on the power of story. And he talked about one of his new rituals now is to sit down each day for about 15 or 20 minutes and look at something that he's always looked at, but try to see a different angle from it. And I mean, he gave a brilliant presentation. It was amazing. And I think I try to do that a little bit. Sometimes I'll just be sitting there and I'll find little moments that I try to explode. I think of it as exploding a moment. In other words, just find a moment in which I can really pull some lesson out of.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Keegan, let me ask one follow-up real quick. Yeah. Sorry about that. Is there a kind of a theme that you use on your blog? Are you talking about mostly what's happening on your campus? Are you reflecting a lot? Or how's that go?
I think most of my pieces come from something that I've observed from my children, and I try to connect it to kids. Once in a while, I'll be honest, I do go on a anti-testing rage, I guess. Not rage is the word. Or something where I've really questioned myself. This past week, I was pretty hard on myself on one of my posts.
I was going to say, yeah, that reminded me of the post you just wrote this last week. Was it 420, or wasn't it that one? Or
I think it was 428 or 427, yeah. Whatever it was. It was a big number. But sometimes, once in a while, I'll do a post like that. Once in a while, I'll refine a post a little bit more formal language. I've been lucky enough to connect with Peter DeWitt and had a couple pieces on Finding Common Ground. And so I do try to polish them a little bit more and make them a little bit more formal, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, all right. Now, what's been the biggest thing that you've learned through your blogging?
I would say it's helped me grow because I've learned if I'm going to blog it and I'm going to write it and I'm going to put it out there to a lot of people, then I need to do it myself. And sometimes I find myself thinking back to what I wrote, and I thought, wow, I need to make sure I model that. I can't really put it out there and then not do what I say. But it's made me be more reflective. It's tried to help me connect to the kids more, think about it from a child's point of view. I try to see things from my own kids' point of view, from my students' point of view, from teachers' point of view. I mean, being a teacher nowadays is so much harder than when I started. I started 17 years ago, and to be honest with you, it was fun. I feel like I did a good job, but you could kind of do whatever you wanted in a way. There wasn't as much standardized testing, and evaluations weren't tied to test scores, and it was very different.
So is there a blog post that you can think of that you're probably the most proud of writing?
One of my first ones, I guess, was Heroes Don't Wear Capes. Superheroes Don't Always Wear Capes. I enjoyed that one.
Right.
But I don't know. That's a tough question. I think one of the ones that was hardest for me to write was a copy off. Sometimes I use song titles, and it was from Frozen, Do You Want to Build a Snowman? I don't know if I was proud of that because it was a reflection in which I realized I wasn't paying enough attention to my daughter, and it kind of reminded me of the scene in the movie. And it was very painful to write, but I think it was very important. But as far as I was proud, I don't know. I have a hard time evaluating because I looked back to prepare for this. I thought, what's the best way I can prepare for this podcast? And I tried to look back at my blogs, and they're all over the place, I think.
No, it's not bad. That's a good thing.
And then as I was preparing, I thought, what's the best way to prepare? And then while I'm sitting here thinking about that, my son peed on himself, and then I had to change that. And see, sometimes I think the best way to prepare for these things is just to live life, and you know, sometimes I think we can over-prepare.
Yeah, amen.
So John, looking back at when you were still in the classroom, what is something that, as an administrator now, that you miss the most about being in the classroom?
I miss being able to build the family atmosphere. In other words, I feel like I can kind of do that as a school, but you miss the connections, and I know that's the answer you hear a lot, and seeing a lot of the podcasts, a lot of folks do miss that connection. But I miss really getting to shape a child for 6 or 7 hours a day, because almost every year that I taught, I had the kids all day.
Right.
You can really shape a kid over 180 days, 6.5 hours, and build the connections and, you know, build the bonds. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I miss some of the power, which I was thinking about that. I tell teachers that, and I don't think they really always understand that, but I truly believe as a teacher, mm-hmm. you are the most powerful person in the building, because really, once you close that door, you can do whatever you want. And I mean, essentially, once you close that door, it's all you. And as you go up, your title is more powerful, but really, as a teacher, I truly believe you're the most powerful person. Now, teachers don't feel that when they're being evaluated and observed and things are linked to test scores, but really, when you close that door, it's all you, which is ironic in a way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is there a kind of a moment in your career when you look back and there's something you're just really super proud of accomplishing?
I started a young gentleman's club in my sixth year when I was teaching. And I had gotten the idea, I think I read a book by, I think the gentleman's name is Stephen Peters, I'm not sure. He had a young gentleman's club nearby. And I ran that for 5 years at one school, and then I brought it to the school I am now for 2 or 3 years. And I think, not that I ran the club that I'm the most proud of, but that I have other gentlemen that picked up the club and carried on. And I think that it was able to inspire them, I guess, to continue with that. Made me feel good.
What exactly is the Young Gentlemen's Club?
I'm sorry. It's a club.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I thought you were wanting me to read.
Oh, sorry. It's basically teaching young men, you know, how to have strong character, how to make good decisions, how to be better role models. And I did that with fourth and fifth graders, and even 1 year worked down with third graders.
Did you were those students that you were working with, were they at-risk kids, or was it just kind of all kinds of kids?
Well, that's a good question, because the first time I started off with at-risk kids, and that was very difficult when you have 25 at-risk kids in a room by yourself at one moment, and it really tested all my skills. But and then I decided, well, maybe I want to mix that a little bit and sort of have some of both, and because you want some role models in there and some kids that need some role models. And now I think this year at my school, I don't work with it, but there's two other gentlemen that run that. They sort of have a balance. And it's very difficult because the kids that need it the most have the hardest time functioning in there. But that's what they need, so we continue to give it to them.
I did that for a couple of years at my school, too. And at first it was at-risk kids only. And I'm just not sure that that was super successful. But then someone took it over a couple of years later and they did a good mix where they had some really strong leaders in the school with at-risk kids, and that was seemed to be really effective from looking from the outside in.
Well, you know, and we do a monthly guys' lunch on my campus with the fifth graders, and that's all the fifth grade boys in one room. So it's about 35 fifth graders in a room, fifth grade boys. That it can be very challenging. at times. So there's some weeks where all we do is get together and just hang out and have lunch and just chat. But it's been crazy the depth of conversation that sometimes the kids, even at 10 and 11 years old, that they seek, that they want to hear that there is somebody that understands where they've been outside of an educational standpoint. And that's what I've learned the most about doing that with my guy students. And we have a female teacher on my team who does it with the girls. Is just getting to let them see a very personal side of me, and choosing to allow myself to open up with them, and then in turn seeing the openness that comes from their end and the different way they now approach education and school because they see that I value them outside of the classroom. So I think it's awesome to hear that there are other people that are doing the same kind of thing to try to reach those kids who are not always the easiest to reach.
No, that's a great point. I wrote about that in a piece. If you build it, I wrote that this past week or 2 weeks ago on finding common ground, because I think far too often teachers are worried about talking about their personal lives or even giving any personal information. And I think the more we do that, the more kids can connect and see us as real people. I mean, I think it's still important to have the distance. You have to be the authority figure in the room, but I gave some suggestions at the end of the article, like, you know, bring in pictures when you were a kid or talking about your favorite music or things like that. I think the more we connect with them and they see us as having a life outside of school, the more they're going to open up.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. And, you know, one of, like, the teacher that's, like, that I've talked about before, Doc, that's impacted me the most is the one that has opened up the most to me personally and us as a class, as a student body, and that's been the most, I think, beneficial thing that I've seen so far, and it's just really cool that you mentioned.
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting point, Keegan, because you've got the perspective of a high school teacher opening up a little bit to the students, because us, we've got more of that elementary mindset. So I think it's interesting to hear from you that even at the age of 16, 17, 18, that you still crave and want that openness from your teachers.
Yeah, and I think that's been the most impactful. Like, aside from teaching, I think that's when teachers have had the most impact on students. It's not with the straightforward knowledge, but when they actually open up and show that they know and that they can help, no matter who you are, where you're from, or anything, that they can relate and they know. And then they really become a big part of your life. And you start to connect more and you start to rely on them. And you have a friend and a mentor at the same time, and it's really cool.
No, that's a great point. That's good to hear from your perspective. I mean, sometimes Absolutely. I think we get too caught up in the knowledge and filling up the kids' heads when we just need to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Now, John, if someone were to describe you in three words, what are three words you would hope that they would use?
I would say empathetic. You know, I try to put myself in their place a lot of times. I think that's very important because school, there's so much that goes on during a day. In a sense, I mean, it sounds bad to talk about it this way, but you're going into battle some days, and I don't mean physically, but I mean school is a very difficult place. It's a very stressful place, and you have to have empathy for the people you work with, the students you work with, because they're going to make a lot of mistakes. I would say humorous, because I like to try to have as much fun as I can. I sing songs all the time. I'm always humming or dancing or just finding something funny. Sometimes maybe not at the appropriate time, but if kids smile, then it makes me smile. And I think nurturing. I think as an administrator, it's very important to be nurturing and accepting of teachers. I mean, teaching, like I said before, is a very difficult job. Teachers don't know what, and I guess in my county, observations can be unannounced. I don't know how it is in the counties where you guys are, but so teachers can be observed at any moment. And sometimes they're evaluated on their best day, sometimes they're evaluated on their worst day. And it's a shame that they think more about their mistakes a lot of times than they do their accomplishments.
So, John, you know, we've talked a lot about reading blogs and writing blogs. Is there something that you're reading right now, whether it's a blog or a book, that you would recommend to others?
You know, you mentioned that earlier with the blogs, and I've learned that now that I've started reading blogs and I've been on Twitter, my attention span has gotten very, very short. So I find myself reading blogs all the time, you know, because I can read them in 5 to 10 minutes.
Yep.
I was so excited to get Simon Sinek's Leaders Eat Last. I couldn't wait for the book, and I've got it, and I'm only halfway through because I'm so addicted to reading blogs. And his books and his videos and pretty much anything he puts out is amazing. And I'm still trying to fully digest that book, but I find myself reading a lot of blogs.
Say the title again.
Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek.
Okay. So looking back like 5 or 10 years, what kind of advice would you give your former self, knowing what you know now?
5 or 10 years, let's see. I would definitely have joined Twitter earlier because my last 8 to 10, well, November, well, I don't know how many months that is, 6 to 10 months, I've learned more than I've learned in 17 years by far. And the connections that I made are unbelievable. I think I would be willing to ask for help more. I think far too often it's hard to ask for help. We feel like we should always have the answers ourselves when really someone right next door or someone now with Twitter or, you know, in our PLN can help us. I think that's a very difficult thing. Nobody wants to admit that they might not have the answer, but so I think I would ask for help more. I would take help. And third, I would exercise and work out more because even though this job, well, you're not sitting, you're up and around and you're about, it's a physical job. You're very busy, and I think the better condition you keep yourself in, you know, the better you can help your staff and your kids.
We haven't heard that. That's so true, because, you know, like Teacher Appreciation Week is this week, and so we had like a cafeteria full of food for us today. Tomorrow's like there's like ice cream sundaes all over the place, and Wednesday I think is candy bar day or something. It's like, come on, man. Can we have like apple or orange day or something?
I want the ice cream. I want the candy. It was wonderful, Chris. Shut up.
No, that's like going to the house and getting the box of raisins to Halloween. You don't go back to that house. No.
Exactly. That's a great way to describe that, John. Yeah.
That's funny.
I'll be honest, I
learn a lot every day.
Yeah, for sure. You're just lured in.
Yep.
And now, what's something that you're really passionate about right now?
I am really passionate about student voice. Trying to give, and I know I've heard some other folks say this on the show, and it's true, we're not hearing enough of what kids have to say. And a lot of the presentations, I'll be honest, I think all four that I went to this past Friday were basically all centered around student voice. And I heard Adam Bello gave the lunchtime speech, or keynote address, I guess that's called. And he's incredible. I know you guys have heard him. He was phenomenal. Yeah. I actually saw a picture of Todd there interviewing the president. That was pretty cool. And he was so powerful. I heard Andrew Sharos and Jenna Shaw talk about their collaboration many states away and how they value student voice. And as I said earlier, I heard Bob Dylan talk about student voice. And I think we're not hearing enough from them. And we need to work smarter, not harder, because the teachers are working harder and harder. They're staying later and later. I mean, there are teachers at my school working sometimes, and I'm asleep, and they're still at school working, doing lesson plans. And I think if we would only listen to kids more and find out, you know, what they want and what they need, I think it would be easier.
I like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, John, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show tonight and giving us some of your time. I know you got two little ones that you're wrangling around in addition to all your other busy life. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. And I gave them both Benadryl, so they're okay. They're going to be asleep. No, I'm just kidding. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on here. When I saw all these giants that were on here, I wanted to make sure you didn't make a mistake on me on here.
Yeah, you are a giant.
I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it very much. You guys are awesome.
Well, and for all of our listeners, we just want to remind you that you can connect with us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ and by using the hashtag EduAllStars. You can go to our website to catch this episode and all the previous episodes at eduallstars.com/podcast to see all the episodes, or you can search it out on iTunes by searching EduAllStars with no spaces.
And make sure to join us next Monday, May 12th, as we interview teacher Ryan Devlin at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then the next Monday, Monday, May 19th, we interview White House Champion of Change, Jenny Majoria, at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Majiera? That's how I would say it. We'll get it right before we talk to her. We also like to thank GoNoodle for sponsoring the podcast for the next few episodes. They make a really great product. I actually saw at Ed Camp this weekend in Houston, Todd and I were working that, and GoNoodle ended up in one of the sessions. So really appreciate them for sponsoring us. You can go to eduallstars.com and see how to get your free account.
Thanks again, John, and thank you for by listening, and we will see you all next week.
Thank you, guys. My honor. Have a great day.
Take care.
Have a great week.